ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी विल डिस्कस चैप्टर्स नंबर 12, 13, 14 एंड 15 ऑफ द फर्स्ट कैंट ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। इन द लास्ट थ्री डेज वी हैव डिस्कस्ड द फर्स्ट 11 चैप्टर्स ऑफ भागवतम। इन द फर्स्ट थ्री चैप्टर्स वी हैव सीन द सिक्स क्वेश्चंस ऑफ नैमिषारण्य एंड देयर आंसर्स टू दोस क्वेश्चंस बाय सुत गोस्वामी। And in the next three chapters, chapters number 4, 5 and 6, and the first part of 7th chapter, we have seen the manifestation of Srimad Bhagavatam in its current form, inspired by Narada Muni and written by Vyasadeva, and the whole history of Narada Muni also we have seen. And later we have seen how Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. In the 7th chapter, how Krishna protected Arjuna, assisted Arjuna in capturing Ashwatthama and guided Arjuna to punish Ashwatthama. And in the 8th chapter, we have seen how Krishna reciprocated with the deep loving devotion of Kunti Maharani and also protected the son of Uttara. And later, we have also seen how Krishna reciprocated with the devotion of Bhishma Dev and how he left from Hastinapur and entered Dwaraka and reciprocated with the loving, affectionate feelings of all Dwaraka Vasis. So, in the fourth chapter of this canto, the sages of Naimisharanya asked three questions to Suta Goswami. They asked about the history of Bhagavatam, which has been answered in chapters number 4, 5 and 6. And they also asked about the birth and activities of Parikshit Maharaj. So, Suta Goswami began describing about the birth of Parikshit. So, before the birth of Parikshit, there was an attack of Ashwatthama with a Brahmastra to kill Parikshit Maharaj, and Krishna protected Parikshit. So Suta Goswami wanted to describe that. That's about the birth of Parikshit, but somehow he was a bit sidetracked and then he went into a detour of Kunti's prayers, Bhishma's departure, Krishna's going from Hastinapur, Krishna's entering Dwaraka. So four chapters went into describing how Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala and how Krishna reciprocated with various devotees. So now the sages of Naimisharanya revive the topics of Parikshit Maharaj. So they tell, "Oh Suta Goswami, we asked you about the birth of Parikshit Maharaj and you just said that Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj when he was in the womb of his mother Uttara, but after that you went to different topics and then we want to know again about Parikshit Maharaj's birth." So they revived. So in Maharaj Parikshit, in the womb of Uttara, was saved by the Lord from the invincible Brahmastra sent by Ashwatthama. So we also want to hear more about Parikshit Maharaj's birth, his activities, his death and his renunciation from this kingdom. All this we want to hear. Can you please repeat, can you please begin those topics again? Then Suta Goswami begins. So after the birth of Parikshit Maharaj, so Parikshit Maharaj was born as the child of Uttara. He is the grandfather of the glorious, pure devotees Pandavas. And Yudhishthira Maharaj's kingdom and his rule sets the right, perfect background for Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit was a great ruler. Parikshit was a great devotee also. Similarly, his grandfathers, the Pandavas, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was also a great ruler and a great devotee. So children inherit the qualities and character of their predecessors. So thus, Parikshit Maharaj imbibed the qualities of his grandfathers, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna and all this. So Suta Goswami begins to describe once again how Krishna protected child Parikshit within the womb. So when Brahmastra was released by Ashwatthama and that was attacking the womb of Mother Uttara, then Krishna entered within the womb of Uttara in the form of a, in the size of a small thumb அங்குஷ்டமாத்திரமலம் ஸ்புரத் புரட்டமௌலினம் அபிவ்ய தர்ஷனம் ஷியாமம் தடித்வாசசம் அச்சுதம். ஸோ இன் எ சைஸ் ஆஃப் எ தம்ப் த சுப்ரீம் லார்ட் கிருஷ்ணா என்டர்ட் வித் இன் த வூம் ஆஃப் மதர் உத்தர அண்ட் ஹி வாஸ் பியூட்டிஃபுல்லி பிளாக்கிஷ் இன் ஹிஸ் காம்ப்ளெக்ஷன் அண்ட் ஹி வாஸ் ஷைனிங் வித் அ கோல்டன் கிரவுன் and with his own glare, with his own effulgence, with his own prowess, he has counteracted the heat of Brahmastra and protected this child Parikshit within the womb of Uttara. Thus, this Parikshit Maharaj has taken birth. After that, at the time of birth of Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj has performed so many auspicious rituals and his birth rites were performed, and Yudhishthir Maharaj called so many Brahmanas and gave them profuse amount of charity. And because Parikshit Maharaj was saved by the Supreme Lord Krishna when he was within the womb of his mother, Parikshit was also called Vishnurata. So Vishnurata is the name of Parikshit, the person who has been protected by Vishnu directly. Tasman namna Vishnurata iti loke bhavishyati. So he will be popular as Vishnurata or Bhagavadrata. And Parikshit Maharaj is called Parikshit because he is very keen in examining. Parikshit means, Pariksha means examining. So Parikshit has taken the darshan of the Supreme Lord Krishna in his form as Vishnu right within the womb of his mother. And after coming out of the womb of his mother, Parikshit started searching for that personality whom he had seen in the womb. So he was looking everybody. Oh, you see that person whom I had seen in the womb? That's why he was examining every person. So he is called Parikshit. So Yudhishthir Maharaj inquired all the Brahmanas, can you please tell us the future qualities and activities of Parikshit Maharaj? So all the Brahmanas, glorious Brahmanas, who are very profound in their science of astrology. So these people started glorifying Parikshit Maharaj's future qualities. They said in maintaining everybody, this Parikshit Maharaj would be like Ikshvaku king. And in donating charity to people, he is equivalent to Shibi Maharaj. And amongst great bowmen, he is equivalent to Arjuna. And amongst the strong people, he is like a lion. And in equanimity of mind, he will be equivalent to Brahma and Yudhishthir also. Like that, so many comparisons were given between Parikshit Maharaj and some great personalities. So they predicted all the future qualities of Parikshit Maharaj, and they said that your grandchild Parikshit, he would be the he will be like a father of all Rajarshis, and he will be the chastiser of all upstarts. He would even punish Kali. And hearing that he will be killed by Takshaka, he will become detached and surrender unto the Lord, and he will be listening the glorious knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. All these are predicted at the time of birth of Parikshit Maharaj. And after informing the future qualities and activities of Parikshit Maharaj, the Brahmanas take leave from Yudhishthir Maharaj and then they depart. And Parikshit Maharaj slowly started growing. Day by day, he is becoming more and more intelligent and grown up, and he is acquiring a lot of knowledge. And Yudhishthir Maharaj also performed so many sacrifices, Ashwamedha sacrifices, to get rid of himself, get rid of all the sinful reactions that have incurred by killing his own relatives. He has conducted so many sacrifices. And in these sacrifices, Krishna was their personal guide, director, and Krishna was assisting the Pandavas in various ways. And Yudhishthir Maharaj did not have so many riches to conduct these sacrifices, because he had recently war has happened, he did not have much money. So Krishna suggested that, Yudhishthir, you can collect riches from a place where a king named Maruta had done his sacrifice. Maruta has done a sacrifice, and in his glorious sacrifice, all the paraphernalia that he had used was made of gold. And so much of charity that he has distributed to Brahmanas was also very valuable and made of gold. But because the Brahmanas were so satisfied, they did not want this gold, they just threw them there. And all the sacrificial paraphernalia was also lying there in the dustbins. So you can go and collect all that gold. And whatever is unclaimed in the kingdom, that will belong to the king, that will go to king's treasury, that will be used for the welfare of the public. So you can collect that gold and then you can conduct sacrifices. So Yudhishthira Maharaj has performed so many sacrifices under the guidance of three horse sacrifices he has conducted under the guidance of Krishna. Then, after a while, once Vidura comes to Hastinapur. Yudhishthira was very wonderfully ruling this Hastinapur, and Vidura comes to Hastinapur one day. Actually, before the war of Kurukshetra, Vidura was advising Dhritarashtra, so you just get rid of your son Duryodhan. He is envious of Pandavas. He is envious of Krishna. He is envious of the Supreme Lord and pure devotees. So you are not supposed to entertain this person. So just get rid of your son. His sin personified. His offense personified. So when Duryodhan came to hear these comments made by Vidura, Duryodhan became furious. Pravruddha kopa spuritarunadharam. So he was extremely angry at Vidura, and he said that how dare he is, who asked the son of this kept mistress to come here and advise against our interests in favor of our enemies. So for the lifelong service he has done to the throne of Hastinapur, we just give him the remuneration of his breath in his nostrils, and he should not stay here, so he should just get out of Hastinapur. So Vidura was pained at heart. He just left his bow and arrows in front of Hastinapur gate, and he went on pilgrimage. So he was on pilgrimage and he went to different holy places, and eventually he met Uddhava and has heard Krishna Katha from Uddhava, and later he met Maitreya and he has heard two cantos of Bhagavatam from Maitreya. And after the war, when Duryodhan died and Yudhishthira Maharaj assumed the royal throne of Hastinapur, then this Vidura came back to Hastinapur, not to peacefully stay there. The reason why Vidura came to Hastinapur was that Vidura wanted to enlighten his blind elder brother Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, in so many ways, he tried to kill the Pandavas, but now he is being maintained by the Pandavas. Because Dhritarashtra was living such a shameless life, Vidura wanted to enlighten him so that he can develop some detachment and devotion and then retire from this family life and take to devotional service. For that purpose, Vidura has come. And when Vidura came, because he is such a glorious personality, everybody loved him unconditionally. All the Pandavas came and received Vidura with great love and affection. Kunti, Draupadi and so many other exalted personalities there, they received Vidura with great love and affection. And they gave him all hospitality. They felt as if their lives have come back. And Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired from Vidura. He says, Bhavadvidha Bhagavataha Tirtha Bhutaha Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantahasthe Nagadabhartam. So people like you are holy places personified. My dear Vidura, my dear uncle Vidura, you have gone to so many holy places, and you yourself are like a holy place because you always carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart. You are as good as a holy place, and the holy places become holier when holy men like you visit them. So, Tirthe Kurvanti Tirthani Swantahasthena Gadabhrita, like that Yudhishthira glorified this Vidura in various ways. And in this context, there is a beautiful shloka that Sutta Goswami says, Evam Griheshu Sattanam Pramattanam Tadihaya Atyakramat Avignata Kalaha Paramadustaraham. So here in this shloka, Evam Griheshu Sattanam, this is specifically applicable to materialistic attached householders like Dhritarashtra, not Pandavas. Pandavas, although they are householders, they are kings, they are taking care of royal throne and they have so much of opulence, ministers and kingdom, soldiers, etc. They were never puffed up. They were never attached to all these facilities. They were pure devotees of Krishna. Although Vidura was a renunciant and Pandavas were family men, Both were wrapped in the thought of Krishna, both were pure devotees of Krishna, both were absorbed in the performance of Bhakti Yoga. Thus, Vidura did not have any message for Yudhishthira Maharaj, because Yudhishthira Maharaj was already in proper consciousness. Vidura had only instructions for this attached householder, Dhritarashtra. So, Vidura chastised Dhritarashtra. And before this also, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked so many questions to Vidura about the welfare of different relatives. So, by this time, Krishna had departed from this world, and apparently Yudhishthira Maharaj did not know that. Vidura came to know that from Uddhava. During his travelings, he met Uddhava. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, although he inquired about the welfare of so many relatives, Vidura spoke everything about his pilgrimage, about the holy places that he visited, but he did not speak a single word about the disappearance of Krishna. Because one should not unnecessarily spread bad news. One should not unnecessarily fill the ether with some negative propaganda. One should be very careful enough not to unnecessarily agitate the minds of other people by speaking something unpleasant. Anyways, by the course of time, people will come to know even bad news also. So why should I be so enthusiastic and eager to reveal that bad news when there is no necessity? So Vidura restrained himself in revealing the news of Krishna's departure to Pandavas. He did not speak a single word. But he specifically came here to enlighten Dhritarashtra. So he started speaking to Dhritarashtra like this. Oh Dhritarashtra, are you not afraid of your fearful death, upcoming death? So time has overcome all of us. Pratikriyana yasyeha kutaschitkarhi chitprabho. When the time overwhelms us, so time passes, time does not wait for any person. So by the passage of time, people become old. People lose their relatives and people lose their kingdoms. People lose their positions. Here, Dhritarashtra was not the king. Yudhishthira was the king. But Dhritarashtra is still thinking that he is the king. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was maintaining Dhritarashtra with great respect and love and affection. As an elder, as the brother of his own father, Yudhishthira was like that. He was such a noble and righteous person, virtuous person. But Dhritarashtra was attached to this throne still. So he says that Sayesha Bhagavan Kalaha Sarvesham Naha Samagataha. Oh my dear Dhritarashtra, don't think that you will be protected from the influence of time. Time has already passed. You have become so old now. So time has overcome all of us. So time forces everyone to surrender everything, including wealth, honor, children, land, home, and even one's life. So he says, Janaha Sadyo Vyujyeta Kimutanyer Dhanadibhi. So even people are taken away, their lives are taken away. What to speak of money? Everything will go away by the passage of time. So you have already lost all your relatives. Your ancestors are gone. Your 100 sons died in the battle of Kurukshetra. But still, why are you maintaining this shameless life? You have tried to kill the Pandavas in various ways. You tried to insult them. You tried to usurp their kingdom through your sons. But they are still maintaining you. Are you not ashamed by being ashamed of being maintained by those very people whom you tried to kill in various ways? So Dhritarashtra, instead of living such a degraded life, better go to the forest and then take to some renunciation and then try to perfect your life. So like that, very emphatically, very heavily, boldly, Vidura chastised Dhritarashtra. Although Vidura gave so many advices to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra never heard all those advices. But finally, this advice he has taken seriously. So Dhritarashtra, on that very day, Dhritarashtra left home without telling anyone. Gandhari, who is the wife of Dhritarashtra, she's a chaste wife. She can easily observe and understand the movements of her husband. She also followed her husband, although she blindfolded herself. And because Vidura came to Hastinapur specifically to enlighten this blind Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra has come back to his senses, Vidura had no reason to live in Hastinapur. Without telling anyone, he also left. Dhritarashtra, Vidura, Gandhari, all three left. And the next day morning, this Yudhishthira Maharaj realizes that all these, his two uncles and one aunt just left the place. And then he felt so bad. Maybe I have committed some offense. I have already killed their 100 sons. They must be displeased with me. Maybe I am not taking care of them properly. They were missing their sons. That's why they just left. So Yudhishthira Maharaj started lamenting. He started blaming himself that I am the culprit and they are the victims. So this culprit consciousness and victim consciousness are there in the minds of common people. Yudhishthira Maharaj was definitely not a common or ordinary person. He's an exalted devotee, pure devotee of Krishna. But circumstantially, to give all of us a message, he is bewildered and he will immediately be enlightened by Narada Muni. Earlier when Yudhishthira was bewildered by the will of the Lord, Bhishma enlightened him. Yesterday we discussed that story. Now today, when Yudhishthira is bewildered in separation from Gandhari, Dhritarashtra and Vidura, then Narada Muni is coming and consoling him. Narada Muni will come now. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting like this. So Narada Muni arrived there. And Yudhishthira Maharaj even asked Sanjaya, Sanjaya, did you see my uncles and aunt? Sanjaya said, no, I have not seen them. I am also feeling their absence now. Because Sanjaya has served Dhritarashtra for a long time, but suddenly he lost his master. He was also feeling empty. So when they are in such a bewilderment, Narada Muni arrived there. So Narada Muni enlightened this Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira, why are you lamenting? Everyone is under the control of the Lord. Just as a cow is sometimes bound by a rope. Similarly, Narada Muni is saying that everybody is controlled by the time factor. So just like a player sets up some playthings and then disperses them. Similarly, the Lord also brings people together and he separates them. And the meeting and separation of people is because of the arrangement of the Lord and because of their own karmic reactions. So nobody is responsible for the maintenance or protection or destruction of other people in the ultimate sense. So you are not supposed to unnecessarily lament for them. Yatha krido paskaranam samyoga vigamav iha ichchaya kriditahu syatam tatha ishvarichchaya nrinam. Everything is Ishwarecha. Everything is happening because of the will of the Lord. Just like a small child brings the toys together and he would separate them. Is there any reason for it? Similarly, you may not exactly find out the reason why the Lord brings people together and separates them. So he says that Kala karma gunadhino jinto deho yam pancha bhautikaha katham anyamstu gopayet sarpagrasto yathaparam. He says Kala karma gunadhino. We are all controlled by kala, time factor. Karma means our fruitive baggage. Guna, the three modes. Kala, karma, guna, dhino, dehoyam, panchabhautikaha. And the panchabhutas, this body which is made of earth, water, fire, and ether, is entrapping the soul. The soul is controlled by this body, controlled by the modes, controlled by karma, controlled by kala. So he's like, as if he's like sarpagrasta. Just like a python swallows a person, similarly kala, karma, guna and they are swallowing this person. How can a person who is being swallowed by this serpent of time, serpent of karma, serpent of deha, etc. can protect another person? So he is being swallowed by python and if he gives a helping hand to another person, he will take the other person also into the python's body. So you cannot protect anyone. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj might say, no, my uncles and aunt will be get troubled in the forest. I don't know where they went. They are blind also. Then Narada Muni says, Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Ahastani sahastanam. People who do not have, living entities who do not have hands, they are the food for those people who have hands. Those jivas who have hands. Means the handless are prey for those who have hands. Then apadani chatushpadam. Those living entities which they do not have legs, they are natural food for those who have legs. Four-legged animals. They may eat. So like that the weak, falguni tatra mahatam. The weak are a source of food for the strong people. So, jivo jivasya jivanam. So by the arrangement of the Lord, one jiva is dependent on its maintenance on another jiva. So we are dependent on other jivas for our maintenance. That's the natural course of life in this world. For example, human beings eat vegetables and plants and fruits. That is their food. A tiger may eat an animal, deer. So that is his food, tiger's food. So like that, one jiva is dependent on another jiva. It's a natural arrangement done by the Lord. Your uncles and aunt will get their food. Don't worry. You are not their maintainer. You are thinking like this because you are under the conception that you are their maintainer. They are living because of your care and protection. Understand, everybody is being protected by the Lord. We are only agents. We are only instruments in the Lord's hands. We cannot maintain anyone. We cannot protect anyone. It's not within our capacity. We may do so apparently only by the power bestowed upon us by the Lord. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you don't unnecessarily lament. These feelings of separation on a material plane are only products of illusion. So, give them up. So, the Lord has planned something for Dhritarashtra, Yudhi, and Gandhari, and Vidura. So even Narada Muni, he could predict the future movements of Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and Vidura also. He even said to this Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says that your uncle Dhritarashtra will do Ashtanga Yoga. And after a few days, his body will be burnt in yogic fire. He will go into trance. And Gandhari, being a chaste woman, she will also enter fire and give up her body along with her husband. And after that, your another uncle, Vidura, he will also give up his body. So your uncle has gone to Himalayas, right? To Saptashruta, a place near to Ganges. And then he would give up his body there. So the Lord has arranged some plan for Yudhishthira, for Dhritarashtra and all that. And the Lord has another plan for you. The Supreme Lord Krishna has descended on this planet to reduce the burden of earth and to accomplish so many other things. And now that his mission has been completed, the Lord might leave also. So Narada Muni did not directly say. He just said that Krishna has descended for this purpose and Krishna has completed his mission. And you people, Pandavas, can stay here as long as Krishna is around. So he just gave some hint of Krishna's departure. Narada Muni also did not reveal the whole news of Krishna's disappearance, Leela, at this stage to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He only gave him some hints indirectly. So Gandhari will die like this and Dhritarashtra will die like that. And Vidura will go for pilgrimage. And then he will also give up his body. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj has been enlightened by Narada Muni in various ways. Out of ignorance or innocence, a ordinary common living entity might think that I am maintaining other people. So great souls understand the reality of life. Nobody is ultimately a maintainer of other people. That does not mean we become indifferent to people who are dependent on us. So parents, we have to protect children. And children have to protect parents when the parents become old. It is the natural responsibility. So elders have to protect younger people. And grown-ups have to protect older people. So this is natural. But no one should attribute an importance to oneself as being a maintainer of other people. I am only an instrument in Krishna's hands. Krishna is maintaining them. And as a part of Krishna's maintenance, Krishna has given me the service of serving them in this way. That's how anybody who protects other people thinks. So this is a very grave message that is given in this beautiful chapter. So in this one chapter, we got so many lessons that Vidura was like a holy place personified. He can purify other holy places also. Vidura was not attached to the palace comforts. Earlier, Duryodhan chased him away from Hastinapur. He checked him out. Now, Duryodhan is not there. Vidura could have comfortably stayed in Hastinapur, but Vidura was not aspiring for any comforts. He came only to enlighten his blind brother. And Vidura spoke very harshly about the materialistic way of life, which is being lived by Dhritarashtra, and enlightened him. And Vidura's mood of detachment and his devotion and his determination to enlighten his blind brother all are seen so nicely. And the futility of materialistic way of life is also depicted so wonderfully in this chapter. And further we see Yudhishthira's lamentation and Narada Muni, how he enlightens. Whenever we are bewildered, only exalted, experienced devotees will give us guidance. Without the association of devotees, we cannot have any fortune in our life. It is only devotees who guide us on the proper path of Krishna consciousness. Whenever we are bewildered, we are confused, we have to take shelter of devotees. When such an exalted personality like Yudhishthira Maharaj needed the guidance of Narada Muni, what to speak of struggling sadhakas? We definitely have to depend on experienced devotees to traverse on the path of Krishna conscious life properly. And that completes the 13th chapter. We discussed the two chapters, 12th chapter and 13th chapter. 12th chapter discussed the birth of Parikshit Maharaj and the glorious rule of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and how Brahmanas have done a lot of predictions at the time of birth of Parikshit Maharaj. And 13th chapter discussed the departure of Dhritarashtra. So what is Suta Goswami trying to do by narrating all these incidents? Suta Goswami is bringing the whole discussion to the coronation of Parikshit Maharaj. Suta Goswami has described the birth of Parikshit. Now he has to describe the activities of Parikshit. The activities of Parikshit as a king will begin when Parikshit becomes a king. What are the circumstances under which Parikshit was made an emperor of this planet? Those things he is discussing. As Parikshit is growing, at one point Dhritarashtra left this Hastinapur. In the next chapter, 14th chapter discusses how Krishna disappeared. 15th chapter discusses how Pandavas retired after Krishna's disappearance. And after that, this Parikshit was enthroned. So actually, Yudhishthira Maharaj enthrones Parikshit as the ruler of Hastinapur, and then he departs. And all the other Pandavas also plan their departure. Now we will come to the 14th chapter of first canto. So the 14th chapter begins with this description. Arjuna went to, after the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna went to Dwaraka along with Krishna. So to know the future plans of Krishna, Arjuna went to Dwaraka. So Arjuna stayed there for about 7 months. He did not come back. Yudhishthira Maharaj was very much concerned. Why Arjuna did not come back? Although 7 months have passed, still I don't see Arjuna. I didn't have any message from Arjuna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was extremely concerned about this fact. And Yudhishthira Maharaj has also been seeing so many dangerous and inauspicious, unprecedented omens in his kingdom. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was sharing with Bhima, his younger brother. So Yudhishthira Maharaj says, I can see a fearful change in the course of time. And people are becoming greedy, because this fearful change in the course of time actually indicates the beginning of Kali Yuga. Dwapar Yuga is changing. So it's the transition between Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga is just slowly picking up pace. So Yudhishthira Maharaj saw the beginning, very beginning stages of Kali Yuga. He was thinking, he was seeing that people are becoming greedy. They are becoming very deceitful. They are adopting so many evil means of livelihood. And dealings between people are filled with deception and cheating. So in my kingdom, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is ruling like this, how can people be behaving like this? So sometime back we have discussed Yudhishthira Maharaj's glorious kingdom. When he was ruling, Yudhishthira Maharaj was established, he was enthroned, so that righteousness can prevail. But very soon, in just few years only, Kaliyuga just took over. So there was strain and quarrel amongst family members also. I am seeing so much inauspiciousness in our own kingdom. And I had sent Arjuna to Dwaraka to see our friends in Dwaraka to find out Krishna's future plans. But Arjuna has not yet returned. And is the Lord going to quit his pastimes? Because as long as Krishna is there on this, on the surface of this globe, no inauspiciousness can creep into our kingdom. And now I can see a lot of inauspiciousness, I can see a lot of dangerous omens in our kingdom. What is the reason? Did Krishna depart? So he was just guessing like that. He was not sure. And he was also not very courageous enough to accept, even if Krishna had departed, the Yudhishthira Maharaj was not courageous enough or ready enough to accept the truth. So he was describing all the bad omens that he is seeing in his kingdom. He was sitting with Bhima and then discussing all these things. He says, the left side of my body is quivering. All my eyes and arms are quivering. For a man, the left eye and the left arm, if they start quivering, it's considered very inauspicious. Something inauspicious is going to happen for him. So it's a belief. And animals, my heart is palpitating due to fear. And the animals like jackal were howling at sunrise time. And the dogs are barking fearlessly. And cows are passing on my left side. And asses are circumambulating me. And my horses are weeping. And the birds like pigeons are seen like messengers of death. And the panchabhutas were also behaving in very weird ways. The holy deities in the seams seem to be... The holy deities in the temples, they seem to be crying. The places... The cities and villages and towns and gardens and other places are no longer filled with beauty and happiness. I can see a lot of inauspiciousness and unhappiness in our kingdom also. What is the reason for this? What could be a reason for this? Yudhishthira Maharaj was suspecting what happened. Did the Supreme Lord depart? So he was just thinking like this. He was speaking to Bhima. At that time, Arjuna arrived. Arjuna came back from Dwaraka. And Arjuna was so dejected. He was looking so morose. There was no happiness. So Arjuna was meeting Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhima and other relatives at Hastinapur after a long time. But still, Arjuna was not expressing any happiness. He was so dejected. He came, offered obeisances to the lotus feet of Yudhishthira Maharaj, his elder brother, and Bhima. But he was not looking very excited or happy after meeting his relatives. He was dejected. Although he was so dejected, he did not forget the etiquette of offering obeisances to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And seeing Arjuna so pale and anxious, Yudhishthira Maharaj started inquiring from Arjuna. Arjuna, how are our relatives? You look little dejected. So are your relatives okay? Are our friends and relatives of the Yadu family dynasty, are they in happiness? Are my grandfathers like Surasena, uncle Vasudeva and his brothers, are they doing well? Are they faring well? And are our aunts, Vasudeva's wives and their sons and their daughter-in-laws, are they happy? And Ugrasena, Hridika, Kritavarma, Akrura, Jayanta, Gada, Sharana, so many people are there. Yudhishthira Maharaj took the names of all these prominent members of Yadu dynasty in Dwaraka, and he name by name he asked the welfare of all these people. And Shrutadeva, Uddhava, Nanda, Sunanda and others who are protected by Krishna and Balaram, so are they faring well? Then he says, Bhagavanapi Govindo Brahman Yo Bhakta Vatsalaham Kachitpure Sudharmayam Sukham Aste Sahridvartaham Bhagavan api govindo brahmanyo bhaktavatsalaha. Means this Bhagavan is Govinda. Krishna is Govinda. He is Brahmanya. He is very affectionate to Brahmanas, respectful to Brahmanas. He is bhaktavatsala. Yesterday we elaborately discussed how Krishna is bhaktavatsala. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is glorifying Krishna in various ways. Is he doing well? It's not actually very logical to ask about Krishna's welfare. Of course, Krishna is always happy. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is indirectly asking, oh, is he enjoying so nicely in the Sudharma assembly hall? Kachit pure Sudharmayam sukhamaste suhrudvrataha. So is he happy? So he's just asking about the happiness of Krishna also and Balaram also. And Krishna and Balaram are staying in the ocean of Yadu dynasty. Yadu dynasty has so many members. Millions of people were there. It's like an ocean. Are they doing well? So serving Krishna's lotus feet is the main activity of all the queens of Krishna like Rukmini, Satyabhama, Mitravinda, Kalindi. So many queens Krishna has. And are they doing well? So what about their welfare? The great Yadu heroes, the sons of Krishna like Samba and many other people, are they doing well? So like that Yudhishthira Maharaj asked so many questions. Arjuna was looking pale, he was anxious, he was dejected, he was so morose, he was so sad. He seemed to be very disheartened. So seeing this dejection of Arjuna, Yudhishthira Maharaj was speculating and asking so many questions. Is it because somebody in our family is not well? That's why he's looking so dull like this. And after Arjuna was not answering any of the questions of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was still looking morose. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked about the personal welfare of Arjuna. Arjuna, I asked so many questions, you are not answering. Are you well? Is your health okay? He asked 10 questions about the personal welfare of Arjuna. He asked, is your health all right? Second, were you disrespected or neglected by someone? Because Arjuna stayed for a long time at Dwaraka. When somebody goes and stays in relative's house for a long time, there is a possibility that one could be disrespected. Okay? So it never happens in Arjuna's case and when Krishna is the host. But still, as a matter of duty, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is trying to find out so many possibilities for Arjuna's dejection. So he is asking this question. Then third question, were you addressed with unfriendly words by someone? Were you threatened by someone? Fourth question, did you fail to give charity to someone whom you had promised? When a Kshatriya promises to someone that he will give some charity and if he fails to give that charity, he will feel bad, he will feel morose. Was that your case? Fifth question, could you not protect some deserving candidates? Because Kshatriya is supposed to protect Brahmanas or children or women. So they deserve protection from Kshatriyas. Any Kshatriya is obliged to protect such innocent people who are dependent on others. But Arjuna could not protect. Is it that Arjuna could not protect? Yudhishthira is asking. Fifth possibility of his dejection. Sixth, he says that, have you contacted a woman of impeachable character? Seventh question, have you improperly treated a deserving woman? When a woman who is qualified comes to a Kshatriya for marriage, so Kshatriya is supposed to entertain that. But did you reject some woman like that? And have you been defeated by someone who is inferior to you or equal to you? So it's an insult on the part of a Kshatriya to be defeated by someone who is inferior or even equal also. If a superior defeats, that's fine. But if an inferior defeats or an equal defeats also, Kshatriya feels very insulted. Then have you taken your meals alone without giving any charity to someone? Then 10th question, have you committed some abominable or unpardonable mistake? That's why are you morose? So like that, this Yudhishthira Maharaj found out 10 causes of dejection of Arjuna. Arjuna is still silent. Finally, Yudhishthira was obliged to openly ask in a very straightforward manner, my dear Arjuna, Krishna disappeared from this planet or what? Are you missing your friend? Is that the reason of your moroseness? He asked in a very straightforward manner. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj could have asked this question long back only. After asking tens and tens of questions, Yudhishthira Maharaj is finally asking this question. Why Yudhishthira delayed so much? Actually, Yudhishthira is a very intelligent person. He could have easily detected the disappearance of Krishna by this time. Because he asked about Krishna when Vidura came to Hastinapur. Vidura did not say anything about Krishna. Narada Muni only indirectly indicated that Krishna's mission is about to complete. Narada Muni did not directly indicate. And Yudhishthira Maharaj has personally seen so many inauspicious and dangerous women in his kingdom. That gives an indication that Krishna disappeared. And he has seen personally, Arjuna was also so morose. That also could have given an indication. So despite of having so many clues and hints, Yudhishthira Maharaj did not ask this question about Krishna's disappearance immediately. Why? Although his intelligence was able to detect Krishna's disappearance, his heart was unable to accept the truth. Yudhishthira was not happy to accept this truth. Yudhishthira Maharaj was still hoping that maybe Krishna did not depart. Let me not hear this news. He was not very happy. He was not very interested to hear this news. He was still hoping against hope that Krishna must be around. So Arjuna, it was not a suspense for him. For Yudhishthira Maharaj, although he got so many hints, but still he never heard from a confirmed source, bona fide source, about Krishna's disappearance. So it was not confirmed to him. So he was asking so many questions and he was speculating a lot. But this Arjuna already knew that Krishna has disappeared. The 14th chapter of first canto, the title is Disappearance of Krishna. The actual disappearance pastime of Krishna is described in the 11th canto, 30th chapter and 31st chapters. It's not described here. Only the effects of Krishna's disappearance and the feelings of separation of devotees after Krishna's disappearance are depicted in this 14th chapter. The disappearance leela comes later. And Arjuna was bothered. Arjuna was already in trouble and pain because of Krishna's departure. And now Arjuna is also irritated slightly by the speculative questions of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And after trying to compose himself a lot and trying to control his tears, Arjuna started responding to the questions of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He says,
Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurupina Yename Apahrtam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat.
He says, Vanchitoham Maharaja, O Maharaja Yudhishthira, I have been cheated royally. Harina Bandhurupina, Lord Hari, Lord Krishna has appeared as my Bandhu, as my dearest friend and relative, but he has departed. Yename apahartam tejo, because Krishna disappeared, all my powers also disappeared. So yename apahartam tejo, all my teja, all my influence and prowess and my skills have been taken away. Deva vismapanam mahat, although with all those powers I could mesmerize even great demigods like Indra and Shiva, still I have lost all those powers now because of Krishna's disappearance. So it's not that Arjuna is lamenting for his loss of powers. Arjuna was lamenting for the loss of his friend Krishna. So Arjuna is realizing that in the absence of Krishna, I am so powerless. In the presence of Krishna, I could have a lot of power. So I could even mesmerize demigods. So Prabhupada writes brilliant purport. This purport to this shloka, 1.15.5. This purport is a very brilliant purport. It gives wonderful guidance to all the sadhakas, all practitioners of spiritual life. Whenever we do something good, there is a tendency somewhere deep within the heart, either prominently or less prominently, somewhere deep within the heart, there is a desire to take credit for one's actions, credit for one's accomplishments and success. And in success, we generally take credit. And in failure, we try to shift blame. That is the natural tendency of an avarice conditioned soul. But Prabhupada writes in this purport that we can accomplish anything by using our skills only by the powers given to us by Krishna. It is Krishna who empowers us to do something. And the accomplishment and the credit of accomplishment should go to Krishna, not to ourselves. If a crow takes some peacock feathers and puts in its tail and then starts feeling that I am so beautiful, it just makes a fool out of itself. Similarly, a devotee also, although he is so accomplished, he is so learned, he is so sinful, say skillful, not sinful, skillful, still a devotee should not feel that it's all my glory, it's all my credit. Only it is because of Krishna's empowerment I have been given the skills or resources or manpower or intelligence or influence or knowledge or whatever. So it is all Krishna's grace, and I am supposed to use all these powers and skills and resources in Krishna's service and not for my sense enjoyment, not for my sense gratification. A devotee is convinced of this fact. But an immature devotee or a materialistic person takes credit for one's own activities without transferring the credit to Krishna. So, endowment and withdrawal of powers is possible to even such exalted people and devotees like Brahma and Arjuna also. What to speak of common people who are like fixed in front of those people. So we need to understand that our accomplishments are not actually our accomplishments. We can accomplish anything only because of the empowerment given to us by Krishna. Without Krishna's empowerment, we are actually useless. And the powers are given to devotees for performing some specific service. And when the service is completed, the power is taken away. Ultimately, that power is not needed for us to go back to Godhead. What is needed? Love and devotion and service attitude to render service to Krishna. That is needed for us to go back to Godhead. That is our property. The skills, these powers, these talents, this manpower, these resources, this influence and this fanfare, this is not our accomplishment. It's all Krishna's mercy. So Krishna uses some of his devotees to accomplish some services. So sometimes we are being used by Krishna to accomplish some service. Some other devotees are used by Krishna to accomplish some other service. One should not be proud. One should not be feeling superiority complex over other devotees if they are unable to perform certain service that you are skillfully performing. And one should not feel inferiority complex or envy towards other devotees just because they are doing well and I am unable to do well. So this superiority complex and inferiority complex make our life complex and make a Krishna consciousness, which is so simple, into a very complex practice. So superiority complex or pride, inferiority complex or envy. So these complex mentalities are very detrimental for one's advancement in devotional service, for one's satisfaction in devotional service. One should be satisfied with whatever one has by the sincere blessings of Guru and Krishna, and one should utilize everything that one has in Krishna's seva honestly and then perform service. One should not be puffed up or proud of borrowed plumes of feather, and one should not feel envious if other people have those feathers and we don't have those feathers. These feathers or these powers or skills or resources are not necessary for us to go back to Godhead. They are given to us only to perform a specific seva. Once the seva is completed, they are taken away. Arjuna is given so many powers to win the battle of Kurukshetra. Once the battle is over, Arjuna's powers are taken away. So Arjuna says, Yasya kshana viyogena loko hyapriya darshanaha uktena rahito hyesha mrutakaha prochyate yatha. The sixth verse of this chapter. Yasya kshana viyogena, just by a moment of separation from Krishna, entire universe will become void and null. They all appear like dead bodies devoid of life. So that is the extent to which a pure devotee feels a separation from Krishna. And after thinking like this, from the 7th verse till 17th verse, our Arjuna enumerates all his accomplishments throughout his life and says that I could accomplish all this only because of the grace of Krishna. It is Krishna who has made me accomplish all these things. I could win the hand of Draupadi by Krishna's grace. I could defeat so many great warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra by Krishna's grace. I could defeat Mayadanava by Krishna's grace. I could kill this Nivata Kavacha demons because of Krishna's grace. Bhima could defeat Jarasandha by Krishna's grace. And so many such. We were all protected from Durvasa's anger because of Krishna's grace. So I astonished Shiva and got Pashupata Astra from Shiva because of Krishna's mercy. Everything is Krishna's mercy. Where is my role here? Krishna just used me as an instrument to accomplish all these tasks. So when some devotee is empowered like this, we should not feel envious of the devotee. And when Krishna gives us some grace to get some work done through us, we should not feel proud. So we should not feel proud when we are successful. We should not feel envious when others are successful. Every devotee was given some kind of power by Krishna to accomplish something in Krishna's seva. So why should we feel insecurity or inferiority complex or superiority complex or envy or pride because of all this? Everything is happening by Krishna's will. So after remembering all these intimate incidents, Arjuna also recollected Krishna's Bhagavad Gita instructions. Before that, there is a beautiful shloka that comes. In Krishna's absence, how Arjuna was feeling powerless is described in this beautiful shloka. 21st shloka of 1.15. Tadvai dhanusta ishavah saratho hayaste soham rathi nrupatayo yata anamanti sarvam kshanena tadabhud asadisha riktam bhasmam hutam kuhakaradhami vopamushyam. In this shloka, Arjuna says, I am the same warrior Arjuna. I have the same chariot. I have the same Gandiva bow. I have the same arrows. I have the same horses. Everything is same. But the chariot driver was not same. It's not Krishna. It is someone else. So, in Krishna's absence, these powerful horses, chariot, bow, arrows and warrior are useless. And he says that bhasmam hutam kohakaradham ivopamushyam. They are so useless, like offerings of oblations in ashes. They are so useless that like money created by magic wand. A magician may create money through magic. Now he will put a white paper in a machine and he will roll it like that and the 2000 rupee note will come out. And the remuneration for his magic show would be some 1000 rupees. If he can produce 2000 rupee notes like this, then why should he perform this magic show for 1000 rupees or 2000 rupees? He can produce the unlimited 2000 rupee notes, but he cannot. It's all magic. It has no value. The money that he has created by some magic and then some jugglery, that has no value. So it's like that, or it's like planting seeds in barren land. They will not grow. So without Krishna, we are actually practically useless. This is the realization of Arjuna. The only asset that we have is our love for Krishna, is our service attitude for Krishna. And when we have that, Krishna will utilize us to accomplish unimaginable, inconceivable services. Arjuna then focuses on the Lord's instructions. And now Arjuna was overwhelmed with grief and anxiety and intense feelings of separation from Krishna. And it is natural for any devotee to experience like that. Feelings of separation from other devotees, feelings of separation from the Lord. But that should not stop us to perform our further activities. These feelings are there. For a moment for some time we can be morose when we lose our beloved ones. But after some time we should get back to our responsibilities. Arjuna recollected all the instructions of Krishna that he had heard from Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That is Bhagavad Gita. He has recollected the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita that inspired Arjuna to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, that same Bhagavad Gita has inspired Arjuna after the battle of Kurukshetra and after attaining the kingdom also. Bhagavad Gita and the instructions of Bhagavad Gita are ever relevant at all times. So they inspired Arjuna to perform his duty before battle with all powers. And now Arjuna has lost all powers, Now he has another duty to take to renunciation. There also Bhagavad Gita instructions became relevant for him. It's not that Gita is meant to inspire someone to fight only with all powers. Bhagavad Gita is meant to inspire someone to renounce also. So like that, Bhagavad Gita instructions are ever relevant. They are spoken in the context of war, but the content of the book is about life, not about war. Hardly you find 10-15 verses about yuddha, about war in Bhagavad Gita. Out of 700 verses, how much percentage of verses are speaking directly about war, although it is spoken in war? So war and violence are not the subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. Life, how to lead life, how to live and how to leave are the contents of Bhagavad Gita. Now Arjuna lived till now and he is prepared to leave now. So both are there in Bhagavad Gita. Now Arjuna remembered all these intimate moments done by intimate moments between himself and Krishna, and he remembered the Bhagavad Gita instructions of Krishna, and then Pandavas together had made a plan to retire. They coronated Parikshit Maharaj as the king of Hastinapur. So these are all Rajarshis. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a Rajarshi. A Rajarshi is a person who rules kingdom with great detachment and responsibility. He has lot of responsibility to take care of the citizens, but in the name of responsibility, he does not develop undue attachment to the royal throne and facilities and power and prestige. So, and his detachment will not make him irresponsible. So detachment and responsibility together are the characteristics of a great Rajarshi or a saintly king. So detachment does not mean irresponsibility, and responsibility does not mean attachment. So in the name of responsibility, we should not develop undue attachment, and in the name of detachment, we should not be irresponsible towards our duties. We should have detachment, we should have responsibility. Yudhishthira Maharaj has ruled the kingdom with lot of responsibility till now. Now it is the time for him to show detachment and give up that kingdom. Give that kingdom to another able successor, that is Parikshit Maharaj. And then Yudhishthir is supposed to retire now. Yudhishthir and all the Pandavas plan for their retirement. And when Yudhishthir planned for his retirement, Draupadi and Pandavas, other Pandavas, they also planned for their retirement. Now Pandavas, Draupadi, then Subhadra, Kunti Devi, all of them wanted to go back to Godhead. They wanted to give up this external world. And while this is happening, Yudhishthira Maharaj just departed without depending on any of his brothers. To rule the kingdom, he was dependent on his brothers. But to attain spiritual realization, he was independent. Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport in this context. He says that ultimately one has to fly one's own plane. Definitely we have to depend on the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, we get the inspiration to practice devotional service. We get proper guidance, and our progress in bhakti is definitely dependent on them, no doubt about it. But ultimately at the fag end of one's life, where one has to fly one's own plane, and in the association of devotees also, just because I am in the association of devotees, they will take me back to Godhead. One cannot think like that. In the association of devotees, one has to be very alert and diligent enough to positively take advantage of that association and try to intensify one's longing for Krishna, intensify one's chanting and hearing, and come closer to Krishna. So, just because I am with some exalted people, that does not mean I am exalted. I have an opportunity to practice the exalted process. So I need to utilize that opportunity. I need to take proper benefit of that opportunity. This is the mode of a devotee. So one should have an individual commitment to the process of devotional service. Not that I am with so many great people, I am already great. Not like that. Just by affiliation to a great guru, affiliation to great Vaishnavas, affiliation to great organization, affiliation to great sampradaya, these are all great, wonderful. But one should also have an individual commitment to this process. So not everybody in a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya could become a pure devotee unless such a person intensifies his practice and then practices with great commitment and devotion. So everybody who studies in a great college will not become a top ranker, will not become a scholar, will not become a scientist. So the students who take advantage of that beautiful college and then study well, they will only succeed in their careers. Some people may fail also. Similarly, people, devotees, the practitioners who are not very attentive in their practice, they may fail also. So like that, association of devotees is wonderful, but one should also have independent, individual commitment to the process. One should have determination to practice the process. And at the end of one's life, ultimately one has to fly one's own plane. So Prabhupada writes all these things. And then in this way, Draupadi, Subhadra, Vidura, Pandavas, they all retired. And Yudhishthira Maharaj became, Parikshit Maharaj became the king of Hastinapur. So we have seen the birth of Parikshit Maharaj in the 12th chapter. And we have seen all the background incidents, how Parikshit Maharaj became king. So before Parikshit Maharaj became the emperor of this planet, what are the events that happened? There are like Pandava's departure and also Krishna's disappearance and Dhritarashtra's departure. So all these things happened before Parikshit's coronation. We have seen up to his coronation. Tomorrow we will see his activities of chastising Kali and also being cursed by Sringi, Samikrishi's son, and taking shelter of Sukadeva Goswami. Tomorrow we have 4 chapters. Tomorrow will be the last day for this Bhagavat Pravaha, first canto. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.